You can turn in your Bible to John 14. The Lord spoke to me to go back into this. We're going to be in all of John today. We're going to take a little journey through the book of John. Amen. John 14, and we're going to look at verse 22. It says, Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? How are you going to do this? And Jesus answered and said unto him, say, if a man love me, how many of you love God? He will keep my words. He didn't say do in this. He said keep. Say keep. He's not talking about doing the word here. He's talking about keeping the word. Say keep. And he said, if he keeps my words, my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now, if we read that in the light of if a man doeth his word, like keeping his law, keeping the regulations, keeping the rules, then what he would be saying there, if you would keep his rules and regulation and laws, then the Father would love you. That's obviously not what he's saying, because the Father loves you unconditionally. Amen. The Father loved you before you ever knew him. God so loved the world. You cannot perform for God's love. So we know that's not what he's speaking about. If we'll somehow attain to the law, like Paul talked about, he goes, I kept the law. I was blameless with it. Yet those things were gained to me. I count loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, in whom I've suffered the loss of all things, he said. But to be found in him, what? Not having mine own righteousness, but be found in his. So obviously what he's talking about here was something far greater than just keeping the rule, the regulation, and the legalism of God's word. In fact, it's not what he was talking about at all. He was talking about the way, say the way, to the Father. He was talking about the way into the kingdom of God. He said, you keep my words, and you actually really need to go back all the way to John chapter 1. But if you'll keep these words that I'm speaking to you, I'm going to bring you, say, to where I am. And that where I am, there shall you be also. He said five different times in the book of John, where I am. Two was in a negative sense. Three was in a positive sense. The whole book of John was designed to bring you and me to where he is, or where he called where I am, where he is now. Amen? What I want to do today, I want to get more into the mechanics of it. Because we say all the time, if you'll keep his word, but I want to show you what that actually means. Holy Spirit told me, he said, tell them what that means. Show them what that means. Go through it with them. Don't just throw it out there, say, keep his word, and expect them to know what that means. So I want to go through some different parts of the book of John. Maybe we'll get into Ephesians, Colossians, maybe Deuteronomy, maybe Proverbs. It's the same theme throughout the entire word of God. When you learn to do this and become skilled in this, because notice the promise he said, if a man love me, he will keep my words and my Father will love him. Oh, if you know what that means. Your Father loves you whether you keep the word or not. If you understand what he's saying, because I'm going to bring you to where I am, and my Father is going to love you in the oneness he loves me with. And then we will come and make our abode with you in the earth. That's what we're looking for, amen? So I want you to go back to John chapter 3 for a minute. The book of John, I mean, almost every chapter is painting a picture, if you see it prophetically, of the dwelling, the abiding, the Father's house. Notice the first thing he says here in John 3:3. He's talking to Nicodemus. And Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily. When he says verily, verily, that means listen up. Say verily, verily. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Say, see. Now, what does that mean in the light of keeping his word? Well, a lot of people, when they try to seek God, try to enter into the things of God, try to see the things of God, they always have this thing, oh, I can't do this. I've tried this. It's not working for me. Well, as long as you say that, it never will work for you. The first thing you have to do is start agreeing with what the Word of God says. Amen? So the first thing, how many of you in here are born again? Raise your hand. So the first thing you say, whether you can see or you can't see, whether you see or you don't know that you can see, say, I can see. I am born again, and I can see the kingdom. I don't see with these eyes, I see with the eye of faith. I see with the eye of faith that's been enlightened by the word of God. Everyone say, I can see. So what you do, instead of saying, I can't do this, it's not working for me, you hold that word and say, I can see because I've been born again. The very first thing to moving in the kingdom of God is you have to have a word. The very first thing about moving in the kingdom of God, you have to have revelation from that word. And you have to keep that word, hold that word, and agree with that word. As long as you're in disagreement, it'll never work for you. Amen? So everyone say, I can see the things of God. That's the very first thing you have to do, is agree with the word of God. Whether it's working for you or not, start agreeing. Amen? Now, I want you to go to John 10. Now we're going to up the ante a little bit. We're not just going to see, we're going to enter into the unseen. Amen? Now I want you to notice what he says here. Verse 9, I am the door. So he's a door, huh? By me, if any man entereth in, he will be saved. Say he'll be saved. And he'll go in and out. Say in and out. There is a revolving door, whether you know it or not, of the kingdom of God, where you go in and you go out. Talk about this one all the time, but I want to back up a little bit and show you the verse that he's actually describing. Look at verse 3. Because this is the one he's actually describing in verse 9. Look at verse 2. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. The porter's the Father. To him, say to him, the Father opens the door for the Son. Now notice what he says here. Pay real close attention. And the sheep hear his voice. Are you his sheep? And he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. Lead them out of what? He leads them out of the world. You heard his voice. You were born again. Now you can see the kingdom of God. Now you can hear the kingdom of God, and you can hear the voice of your good shepherd, and he calls you out of the world. Translated out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now notice what he says. And, say and, now he's already led you out. You've been born again. You can see the kingdom. You can hear the voice of the good shepherd. Well, I can't hear from God. You can hear a lot better than you think you can. You're trying to hear a voice, But God speaks through His Word. What you need is to hear His Word. You need a revelation. You need to see His Word, hear His Word, and follow Him by His Word. Right here is enough to get you in. You'd be a lot better off hearing from God in His presence than trying to hear from Him in this jurisdiction, because there's a lot of interference here. How many ever thought God spoke to you, you moved on it, and found out He didn't speak to you? But you knew He spoke to you. You're better off to hear from God in His presence. Amen? It's all about being with Him where He is. So He leads you out, and then watch this. When He putteth forth His own sheep, He goes before them. So what happens? Let's say this pole is a door. This is the world system. He calls you. You get born again. You can see the kingdom. He calls you out of the world. He opens the door to the kingdom for you. Now notice what He does. Then He says, once you're born again, He's put you out of the world, put you in the kingdom. Now He stands in front of you and says, now follow Me. Now He's telling you, follow Me into where I am. Amen? These are all words that you are designed to keep. These words, the enemy, the thief, will come immediately for. The Bible says Satan cometh what? Immediately. These words are the power to get you where God wants you to be, if you learn to keep them. If you don't think the enemy's skilled at stealing them, well, then you need to have a renewing of the mind. Because that's his whole arsenal against you, is to steal the words. So you're left running around in your own understanding. These words have the power to deliver you into the glory of God, to deliver you into the inheritance of God. He says, He'll go before you. And His sheep what? Will what? Follow. In describing that verse, what does He say? I am that door. If by Me any man enters in, he'll be saved. And, say and, he'll go in and out. Now, when you're having difficulty entering into the things of the kingdom, the thing that you want to do is you want to hold that word, keep that word, set that word in your heart, and agree with that word. Because it's the agreement. Now, some of you are getting more skilled with these things, and some of you are still having a difficult time. What you have to do is hold that word, keep it, and agree. You hold it right here in the heart. The Bible says, lay up these words in your heart. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Set them in your mouth, in the frontlets of your eyes. Don't let them go. If you hold that word, if you keep that word, I say, I will go in and out. You are the door. I hear your voice. See how the agreement is? You're agreeing. No matter what, whether you can get through that door or not, you keep agreeing. You keep speaking. You keep saying, you are the living door. I hear your voice. I go in and out, and I follow you. That's a word you can keep. Now go to John chapter 12. Every one of these is designed to get you to one more place in God. Every one of these is designed to get you to one more level in God. God is about following Him. We found out recently when He said, if a man take up his cross, deny himself, and follow Me. That does not mean to sit in a lifestyle of penance, in self-absorption, in the denying of self, suffering for the Lord. I gotta suffer for the Lord. That's not what He said. He said, take up your cross, deny self, and follow. Where are you following Him? Well, I'm going to follow Him over here and there. One of the primary leaderships of the Lord Jesus is to lead you to the Father. He's leading you into a place that's not of this world. He's leading you into a place that's not geographical. It's spiritual. His whole mission was to bring you to the Father. His mission wasn't just to save you. His mission was to reconcile you. He didn't want to leave you at the cross, leave you here. His mission was save you, become the door, and say, now follow me to the Father. Because he wanted to reconcile mankind to what they lost in the garden. And he wanted to reconcile you to your inheritance that's with him in the Father. Amen? The way we get there is not by desire alone. Desire alone will not get you there. You'll get stopped out with desire. If desire alone, hunger alone can cause you to beat the air. Did you hear me? Paul said, I am not one of those that beats the air. I've seen a lot of hungry people get stopped out. I've seen a lot of hungry people turn aside. I've seen a lot of hungry people turn back. I've seen hungry people get offended. It's not enough. The call for the champions of God is to make it all the way to the glory. Make it to the Father. Make it to the dwelling place of the Most High God. That's the call. So, well, what about the world? Listen, when we get there, he already promised, if a man loved me, if you really love me, you're going to keep these words. You're going to follow me where I am. You're going to be loved of my Father. You're going to be restored to the garden. And then my Father and I are going to come back and make our abode with you in the earth through the habitation of the Most High God. And the glory of God is then going to manifest into the earth. That's the highest realm of God. That's what we're after. And all along the way, he's given words that we can keep. He's given promises, one level to the next. Amen? John 12, if any man serve me, let him follow me, that where I am, there shall my servant be. Notice this, if any man serve me, him my Father will honor. We always look at that, well, we're going to serve God, I'm going to follow him. What's that mean to you? Wake up in the morning, well, I'm going to follow him wherever he leads me. Well, look, if you got a job, you're going to the same job every day. I doubt he's going to lead you to another one that day. He's going to be leading you to the same job every day. That's not where you're going to, oh, I'm going to follow you back to the same job. You don't have to follow him. That's just a job you report to. I'm going to follow him during lunch, wherever he tells me to go. I'm going to follow him to the break room after work. I'm going to follow him to the mall. I know he's calling me to the mall. I know that if I'm at this one place, somebody's going to meet me there. I'm going to follow you. Believe it or not, I've done that. Nobody ever met me, but I sure tried it. Well, I'm going to follow him to Africa. I know he's calling me. He might be calling you to Africa. But I promise you, he's not going to wake up every day and call you to Africa. But he said, if a man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. The kind of true leadership in God, if you really want God's will and God's fullness, you're going to have to learn this type of leadership. Because this type of leadership is every day. That kind of leadership, your vocation, your calling, your destiny. God doesn't just lead you every day like that. As far as I know, for the last 18 years, he's led me right here. You're still a pastor. You're still apostle in training. I don't have to wake up every day and have him lead me back right here to this pulpit. I kind of know that this is where I'm at. I'd like sometime him to lead me the next place. Just like you would. If I want to get to the next place, it's not about where's our next building at, God. It's not about what's next. It's where are you? I got to take up my cross, deny self, go through the door and follow you into something far greater than I am. I got to follow you into the Father where there's an exchange. to follow you in the glory where there's an exchange. Jesus did that in the Garden of Gethsemane. Went in, came back out, didn't get it the first time, went back in, came back, didn't get it the second time, went in the third time, sweat, great drops of blood. He was in sorrow and travail. His soul was in travail because he was in that process of surrendering. Even Jesus had to do it. That third time he come out of the garden and the glory of the Father was on him. Judas and all those men showed up and they all fell out in the glory. The power of God hit them. Look at the difference between the struggle and then the power on him. Look at the difference. He was struggling. His sweat was like great drops of blood. Then he comes out with the power of God on him. He goes, don't you know I could call upon my Father and 12 legions of angels would come right now. Slaps the ear of Malchus back on him. See, that's the difference in exchange. That's where God's trying to lead us, into an exchange. Prayer is about exchanging who you are for who he is. That doesn't just happen. That's a process of leadership. The first thing we've got to do is go through the door. Amen. How many of you are ready for something brand new? Do you think that God's just going to throw it on you? You think it's just going to fall on you? The brand new is already done. Everyone say the brand new is already done. The brand new has already been fulfilled. The brand new you is already in Christ. The brand new you, Jesus, has already inherited everything you're ever going to be. I had to come to that realization that what I really want, he's already done. What I need is not to somehow come into all this. What I need to do is exchange who I am for who he already is. He already is our future. He's already inherited everything I'm ever going to be. Everything you're going to be. Everything's ever promised you. He is that promise. What he wants us to do is come in and exchange who we are. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. You're not going to get that by doing penance in the world and suffering for the Lord. And somehow if I suffer enough, it's going to draw the attention of the Father. In my performance of suffering, it's going to draw his attention. And all of a sudden, God's going to shine on me. How many have adopted the mindset, well, I'm going through something, so obviously something good's coming. You've ever heard that? Boy, on the sign of the warfare and the suffering I'm going through, I know God's about to show up. That is a misallocated belief system. I'm going to give you a show of hands. How many of you suffered anything last year? Raise your hand. Wow, God should be really plowing us over right now, shouldn't he? If the sign of your suffering attracts God, I'm going to tell you the only suffering that attracted the Father was the suffering of his Son, because he was the only qualified one. It's that suffering that the Father identifies with. Your suffering is to enter into him. Do you understand what I'm saying? You need to get over the mindset just because you're in warfare, well, God's going to obviously show up. Listen, God's already shown up. God's already done it. It's all in Christ. The Bible says we are complete in him. Say we are complete in him. We've got to enter into his completion. What the book of John was designed to do is get you out of where you are into where he is. If any man will follow me, where I am, there shall he be also. That's the first time he said it. Second time he said it, go to John 14. Now, John 14 is loaded with a lot of good stuff to keep. Amen? John 14 is a real keeping kind of chapter. So is John 16. So is John 17. If you'll find these things I'm going to show you today, to keep certain things, there are certain words that will be illuminated if you'll hold those. What you need to understand is where you're trying to go, you don't have to do that yourself. The word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. It's that word you keep. If you would spend more time keeping, attaining, focusing on the specific words that bring you to where he is, those words will deliver you in. Those words will bring you out of where you are into where he is. Amen. John 14 verse 2. Here he goes again. Now, we've been all over this. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Actually, that word is dwelling places. Say dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Say, I'm prepare a place. And if I go and prepare a place for you, look at this. I'll come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there shall you be also. You can hold and keep that word. That word is full of promise. Where you are, Lord, you said, there I would be also. You said you would come and receive me. That where you are, you said I could be where you are. Where you are, there shall I be also. Now here's another one. I love this one. This is a powerful one. John 14 verse 19. Yet a little while. Say a little while. Now he's talking to the disciples because he's about to leave them. He's in the upper room. He goes, the world will see me no more. I'm not going to be like I am now. I'm not going to be in the flesh manifesting. The word made flesh manifesting. I'm about to go back to my Father. Say, the world will see me no more. But, say, but, you will see me, but you will see me. He said, I'm going to go away. The world's going to rejoice, he said in John 16. You're going to lament and weep, but your weeping will be turned to joy. You're going to see me and the world will not. That's a word you can keep. Though the world cannot see you, Lord, I can see you. I can see the kingdom of God. I can see where you are. I can see where I'm going. I know where I'm going. I hear your voice. I hold your word. I keep your word. I have compass. Say, I have compass. That word produces that compass. I don't have to wake up and wonder where God is or wonder where I'm going. I wake up, I know where I'm going. I'm going through that door. I'm going into the rest. I'm going into where you are. I'm going to dwell with you in oneness. I can see you. You see that? I can't hear from God. I don't know where God is. That is a result of that word being stolen from your heart. When the enemy steals that word, you're disoriented. When he takes the word, when he wars against the word, you become disoriented. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know where you're going. You have no compass. You don't have no leadership. You don't know where you are. You're fair game at that point. Your responsibility, attend unto my words. Keep my words. Don't let them depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of the heart. Keep them in your mouth. Amen. Their life, what? To those who find them. He said, but you will see me. Now he's talking about seeing him in a spiritual state now. He goes, listen, you rejoice. You should rejoice that I'm going away, he said. My Father's greater than I. Well, that's really great that you're going back to your Father, but you're not here with us. He goes, listen, it's going to be better than it is now. I'm going to bring you into where I am with the Father. I'm going to prepare a way for you. I am that way. See, all these words you keep. You have to attend to them. If you don't, you'll become disoriented in your Christianity. You won't know where you're going. You don't know what you're doing. You wake up with no purpose. Your purpose is to dwell. Our purpose is to enter into the dwelling place of the Most High God, to exchange who we are for who He is, and for Him to come back and make His abode with us. That is our purpose, and we will obtain. Whew, I feel the anointing on that. He says, and because I live, you will live also. Look at verse 20. And that day that's coming soon, that day's already passed, by the way. It's already happened. But for them, it hadn't happened yet. He goes, at that day, you will know. Say, you'll know. That I'm in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Now he's bringing in the oneness to you. The promises of oneness. Oneness is a grace that's already been given to us. However, while you live in this jurisdiction, you can rarely feel the oneness unless the anointing comes on you. You can feel separated. You can feel miles apart. You can feel all kinds of stuff that comes out of this jurisdiction, like guilt, shame, condemnation. You can feel all the struggle of works, human sufficiency, travail, labors, heaviness. You can feel all of that, yet the oneness has still been given to you. It's still your inheritance. But you've got to enter into it. Amen? He said, in that day, you're going to know that you are in me, that I'm in the Father, you're in me, and I'm in you. You're going to know the oneness. I'm going to bring you to it. You can keep that word. That's how I do it. I hold that word. I focus on that word. I hold it in my heart. I speak it. I focus it, and I go where it is. Let that go, and you'll very rarely encounter the oneness of God. You'll live disoriented. People don't understand the powers in keeping His word. The powers attending to these words that bring you to where He is. And they keep you in the mountain of God. Far above the principalities and the powers. They keep you above the enemy, not in the midst of it. Do not allow yourself to fall and slip down into a place of warfare. The enemy will eat your lunch for you and your breakfast and your dinner. You ever let yourself go? Fell off the mountain of God and found yourself in a continuous warfare that you don't even know how to get out of? And then we come out of the warfare and we have our warfare badges. Well, I got that badge. I got this one. I'm in suffering for the Lord. I surely know He's going to do something great. All you managed to do was fall out of your place in the Father. He says, if man will follow me, listen to this, he'll be with me where I am, and him my Father will honor. The one that's with me where I am, my Father will honor him. It's not that the Father's dishonoring you. It's the Father's made a way for you to escape the pollutions and the warfare of this world to dwell above. He's honoring you because you dwell above. But you fall out of that place and you're expecting God to come down here in the midst of a place that He's not at. So why does He let all this happen to me? Why am I continually in this warfare? Why am I continually in that warfare? Those who walk in the high places of God realize they have to stay. And the way they stay is they take up their cross daily and follow Him where He is. You'll find it's not quite as hard as you thought it was. You'll find a whole lot of grace on the mountain of God. There's a whole lot of power in the mountain of God. There's a lot of light in God's mountain. There's a lot of love in His mountain. There's a lot of joy. And what you do is you learn to stay there. The discipline is to stay focused in faith. Faith is what brings you there, not your sufferings. The taking up the cross is denying of self. I'm not going to let self have its way in this earth, because all it's going to do is lead me to bondage. I'm going to deny it, submit it, surrender it, and enter into life. I have to follow him to life. How do I do that? I keep those words. Those words deliver me to life. Amen. The book of John will deliver you to the Father. The book of John, there's no other book like it. There's never going to be a book like it. The book of John delivers you, especially John 14, 15, 16, and 7. Whew. Pretty heavy for Sunday morning. I just wanted to hear something good on my marriage. It's generally the seeker-friendly churches start off January with the marriage. Anyways, never mind. We'll not bother. Go to John 16. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Listen, you got to learn to partake of heavy things. The Lord never backed his message off, never. They either followed him or fell away from him. Read John 6. A lot of his disciples left. They said, I'm the bread of life. And if you're going to make it, you're going to have to eat of me. Because my words are spirit and life to those who find them. A lot of his disciples walked away from him that day. He didn't even bother to go chase them down. He knew the ones that were going to have to make it were going to have to follow him and have the capacity to eat spiritual things and partake of deep things and not choke. Not everyone had an appetite for it. He that had ears to hear. Where he was taking them was to the Father. There was no other mission for him. I'm going to save you and I'm going to restore you to the Father. That is my mission. He's going to do that with us in this day. The body of Christ will be restored. The remnant will be restored into the Father. The Father's love is glory, light, grace, life. The Father's going to clothe us with his own self. We're going to be clothed in fullness and come back, clothed in the glory of God, demonstrating the kingdom of God. The world's going to see the fullness of the gospel again. It's in the exchange. It's not in us. It's not going to come as some gift upon us without accountability. It's going to come by oneness. Can you hear the sound of many waters? All these words you keep progressively. I keep the one that gets me through the door. I keep the word that brings me to the rest. I keep the word that brings me to oneness. I keep the word that brings me to where he is. I hold that. I don't let it go. That word will deliver me in. It has the power to take you there. Don't go without his word. John 16, 16, here he is. Look at it, a little while. Say a little while. A little while you shall not see me. And again, say again. Here's your word you keep. In a little while you will see me. Because I go to the Father. You're going to see me where he is. Say, I can see you, Lord, where you are in the Father. You don't see with these eyes. You see with the eyes of the heart that's been enlightened by the word. And that word brings you to a place that's invisible to the senses, invisible to the natural eye, but very visible. Because the word becomes the light. It lights a place in the spirit that's otherwise undetected. That's why he said the world's not going to see me, but you will see me. I hold this word saying I can see you. See, the problem is when you're over in this jurisdiction of the earth. I'm sorry that y'all have to be in the earthly jurisdiction over here. But when you're in there, this earthly jurisdiction, it gets real hazy. You can't see anything. You're not in the kingdom right now. You're in the midst of the mind. You're in the midst of the systems of the world. And you're trying to discern the will of God and hear the will of God. You're not where he is. So you can't hear and see clearly. You got to get through the door before you start keeping these kind of scriptures. You don't start saying, I can see you, not hear you. You don't see him. You get through the door, then you start seeing. Amen? I see a place in the Father. I can see. Everyone say, I can see. See how it's progressive. Everybody trying to see the glory of God in the earthly jurisdiction. You don't do that. Moses didn't see the glory of God. He went up the mountain to see the glory. You got to go in the temple to see the glory. You got to come out of where you are into where he is. Verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs. Here's another one you keep. I will show you plainly the Father. Now, just FYI, when I'm in the earthly jurisdiction, I'm not looking to see the Father right here. I'm not looking to dwell in the Father's love. I know there's a little bit of progression that goes on. I know I got to get through the door. I know I got to get through the rest. I know I got to get into oneness with the Lord. But when I'm in the oneness, I am looking to behold the Father. I am looking to dwell in the Father's love. You notice what's happening. I'm not trying to bring God all the way to where I am. I'm going all the way to where he is. I'm following by way of these words, one step at a time, moving into a place that's been predefined as a part of my inheritance. I'm moving. You will show me plainly when I'm in the Lord, when I'm drawn. You show me. That's the time I hold that word. You show me plainly. You openly show me the Father. You openly reveal the Father to me. Every place you got to know, because these words are progressive. So each place you're keeping these words, it depends on where you are. If you're in the world and struggling, they'll be trying to hear God's voice over here. The word you need to keep is the door. I got to get out of the door. I got to get out of where I am. I got to get through the door. I got to get to where he is. Amen? You got to find out where you are and find the word that you need for where you are to get you to the next level. Because part of God's leadership is to get you. Not part, that is his leadership. You got to find out where you are. Where are you struggling? Where are you stopped out at? What do you need next? The book of John has every level for you. Look at your neighbor and say, the book of John has every level. From salvation to the door, to oneness with Christ, to dwelling in the Father's love, to the Father and Christ coming and making their abode here with you in fullness of glory and demonstration. That pretty much sums it up, doesn't it? And there are words that you can keep for every level that get you to the next one. I need to go to a conference. Somebody lay hands on me and deliver me into the glory. Well, they might, but you're not going to stay there. You can get delivered up into glory, but what's going to hold you there? How are you going to stay somewhere that you didn't climb up? How are you going to stay? The only way you can stay is to keep his word, because he upholds all things by the word of his power. He's going to uphold you by the word you keep. Your life was not meant to be a yo-yo. You were meant to move from glory to glory, not from glory back down. He didn't say from flesh to glory. He said from glory to glory. You will no longer speak to me in Proverbs. You will show me, Lord, plainly the Father. You openly reveal him to me. You were sent to reconcile me to the Father. Openly reveal the Father to me. Let me see the Father's glory. Bring me into the Father's love. Bring me into the dwelling place of the Father. For I am in you and we. See? You connect. John 17. John 17 is a culminator. I am drunk on the word right now. Glory be to God forever. No telling what the sons and daughters of God are going to obtain in this generation. No telling how high we're going to go. No telling, because the limits, John took the limits off of everybody. When you understand what's in these words, when you understand who you are, you learn how to agree with every level. Each time you secure a level, you agree with it and you move on. Take another level, agree with it and move on. Take another level, agree with it and move up, 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 up. Higher and higher. Until we can enter into the Mount of Transfiguration. Until we can enter into the Father and the Father light us up. Well, that was for Jesus. They said they beheld his glory. In John 17, he said, my glory. John 17, 5, what he says, Father, clothe me with thine own self, with the glory I had with thee from the beginning. He goes into the Father, and now he says, my glory that the Father's now restored to me, I give to you. I give. And describes the oneness two ways. One in him and one back here. He describes two levels of oneness. I'll begin my close. Or opening the brand new realm. It's faith that enters these realms. It's not your works. When you think you're ever going to be good enough for that, you have to take all of your shortcomings and all of your failures and enter into Christ and let him bury that stuff. I'm found in him not having my own righteousness anyway. The day I learned to take my failures and bring them for burial and enter into his righteousness all in one day, that's a great day. When the enemy's pounding you for who you are and who you're not. And you come and bury that and you enter into life and glory. And I mean, the difference between night and day of that jurisdiction and this one. You're able to do that. It's faith that causes that to happen. Not your goody two shoes, Mary Poppins anointing. That'll never obtain. Jack Daniels will obtain much faster than Mary Poppins ever will. Jack Daniels already knows what kind of rascal he is. Mary Poppins depending on her goodness. He already knows he ain't got none. He's exchanging. I'm exchanging. Be a lot quicker to jump over in Jack Daniels and exchange. John 17, look at this. Two levels here described. Two operations, verse 21. Whew, there's an anointing in this today. How many of the Holy Ghost speaking to you today? I mean, you're challenged to go higher. He's going to break the limits off. That's what he's doing. He's breaking the limits. When the 4-minute mile was busted, everybody busted it. You got to break through the ceiling and then everybody goes through it. All of a sudden, it's an easy ceiling. It's got to be broken through. Faith is going to pierce that. Faith in these words right here. There's nobody in here any more special than anybody else. If you knew who I used to be, verse 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, now notice this, art in me and I'm in thee, they may be one in us. Now, he's talking about being with him where he is now. They're going to come to be one in us where we are now. Father, I pray they come to where we are, be one in us. You're in me, I'm in you, but they're going to come into where we are. You see that? And then, what's he say? Verse 22, and the glory you gave me, I've given them that they may be one as we're one. See, I've given them this position I have with you, Father, this oneness, this glory. I give it to them. It's free. You can't earn it. You only can obtain oneness by faith in his words. That's it. You're not going to be good enough. You're not going to wake up one day and feel spectacularly oneness with God. Oh, I feel the euphoria of oneness I've obtained. No, most of the time you're going to wake up and say, where's the coffee? Most of the days you're going to feel flesh. I very rarely ever feel the anointing when I wake up. You might be super spiritual. I don't. I usually walk into the closet, I got to drag this flesh suit into God. But I'm used to doing it so much now. I say, you're going to bend, you're going to submit, you're going to surrender, and I'm going into the glory, and that's the way it's going to be. Sometimes I'll get it in there faster. Sometimes I have to feel like it. I got to feel like doing that. I got to find the resolve to drag this thing in. Sometime I'll walk around the house a little while. I know what I got to do. I'm just not feeling like I got to do it yet. But then I said, okay, it's time. Get in here. And it happens every time. I'll drag that thing in. All of a sudden, I'll go through the veil. And all of a sudden, the joy and the peace and the harmony and the rest. I'm like, what was I waiting on? Why did I do this an hour ago? Oh, don't look so holy out there. Because flesh paints quite a different picture. Flesh makes you feel like it's 1,000 miles away. And the devil empowers those feelings. I don't care how spiritual you are, you're going to wake up like that most of the time. You got to drag it in and make that exchange, and then you'll start feeling it. Then you're off and running. Into the rest, into the oneness, into the love, into the glory. Next levels is light and life, transfiguration, faith for transfiguration. Now, first it was they and us. Now watch this. He goes, then, verse 23, I'm in them. You're in me, Father, that they may be made perfect in oneness. See, notice the difference. First, you're in him where he is. Then he said he'll come and make his abode with you. Then I'm in them and Father, thou in me. That's the abode of God with you in the earth. That's oneness with God here. And then this marvelous verse, verse 24. Father, I will they also whom thou given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. For you lovest me from the foundations of the world. You take that and put that, hold that with 2 Corinthians 3. We all with open face, unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed, transformed, transfigured into the same image from glory to glory. That's where it's going to happen. That's where the body of Christ is going to get its power. That's where the glory is going to get restored. That's where the creative realm is going to come out of. That's where it came out of Christ, and that's where it's going to come out of us. He's going to come back and do it. Amen. You can hold Ephesians 2, I've been raised together and made to sit together with him in heavenly places. You can hold Colossians. I'm hidden, I'm dead to the world, crucified with Christ. My life is hidden away with Christ and the Father. There's a lot of things you can hold. Learn to keep his word. Amen. Do you know the book of Deuteronomy? 31 times said to keep his word. 31 times. Times keep his word. Lay him up in your heart. Solomon had his wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4, and I'll close. Verse 20, my son, attend to my words. See, it's a whole lot different than going to keep his law, don't you think? How far are you thinking of getting God going to keep his law? You think that's going to deliver you into the Father? If that would deliver you to the Father, he would have never had to come, because the people who kept his law before Jesus showed up would have been in the Father. They couldn't get you there. That's not the kind of keeping he was talking about. Give attendance to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. They're life to those that find them. Their health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. You will dwell and live in the book of John. There is a level for every place you're at. There is a level all the way. The book of John is the open door to the Father. There's a word for you at every level. I want to hear a word. There's a word right there. Grab it, keep it, launch, enter in. Amen. Enter in.
We trust you're enjoying today's message. We would like to invite you to partner with us through our convenient online donation feature that enables our ministry to continue offering these life-changing messages free of charge.